And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about Huntsville over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we're going to go right now to a segment filled up with people that I love. So we got some folks that do good things for the show in the background. They are part of the character, the flavor of who we are as a show. And they come in once a week, and we do a segment we like to call Butters and Lee, but I got to first call the roll and make sure they're there. I know they are because one of them's sitting right here. Hey, Butterman, how you doing?
I'm doing lovely. How are you?
Lovely would be the word. You are lovely. Thank you very much. Glad you're here. I like it when you're live in studio. And then calling in, live on the line, filibuster queen herself, Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm good, and I'd like to mention, in my defense, I did not filibuster last week.
Whatever.
I think that was more Butter.
You didn't. Okay, fine. Fine. You did not. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad of it. Well, I pronounce a quorum, so it's time for some Butters and Lee. All right, you guys, you know the deal. I ask questions, y'all supply the answers, and then we flip the script and do it the other way around. But here's my first question for yous. So, if you hadn't been watching the news, Trump has been issuing executive orders like daily, like in machine gun fashion. He's been issuing orders, executive orders daily since taking office on Monday. He has dealt with like everything from, you know, immigration, energy, the economy, the Jan 6 pardons, DEI, wokeness in the military, border issues. I mean, it goes on and on. So which one of his executive orders is your favorite and why? And I'm going to say Lee, ladies first. Which one of the executive orders you like?
You know, I think they're all important, but my thoughts are probably the January 6th people, and I'll tell you why. Because of the promises made, promises kept statement people keep saying about him. And also, I know a lot of people have said, he pardoned everyone, including those who were violent and this and that and the other. And I think that what most people really need to dig and understand is that people were called violent, or they would say assaulted police officers, that just, you know, got pushed into someone, grabbed a shield. There wasn't a lot of, you know, or they were telling them, hey, somebody's hurt, or, you know, they were doing a lot of things that weren't necessarily violence against police, but these were political prosecutions, and they were determined to send every last person that came up there to jail. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the way it came across. Yep. You don't send that many people to jail and that many people are prosecuted if it's not political. And people were staying in jail for much longer than anyone would for that charge. You know what I mean? For something that wasn't. And they were adding on all these additional charges and staring down this impossible long amounts of time. So that's, to me, that made a big difference in people's attitude toward Trump.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been huge. I mean, it's not an executive order. It's a pardon, but it was definitely in my list of things that he's accomplished this week. And I agree with you. I think this is huge. Promises made, promises kept. And then you also look at it and realize you got murderers that get out on the streets quicker than some of these, you know, folks who just walk through a door did. And like Trump said, he looks at it and thinks, if they walk through a door and didn't commit a violent crime, what the heck? Plus, it was very obvious that it was a witch hunt. Very obvious that it was a witch hunt.
Yeah.
And it was beyond the need to restore law and order. It was a pure D witch hunt. All right, Butters, your thoughts. What action has he taken this week that's been your favorite?
So is he signing an actual executive order, or is that how that works to change it to the Gulf of America? Is that?
Yes, indeed. It was an executive order. He directed all departments of the United States to hereafter refer to it as the Gulf of America.
That one's up there. the creation of DOGE and then getting that, codified and getting executed. I think that is going to be it's going to have one of the greatest impacts on.
Didn't he already take the first report from DOGE? Like something's already been given to him and he's going to start moving. Like, I think it was empty buildings, I believe.
Yeah, I think that there's just so many layers buried under that whole thing, right? It's going to enlighten. It's going to be done in a fun way, for one thing. on X and throughout with a running ticker of how much they're saving. And it's just going to be, and I think hopefully it's going to really capture just how messed up things have gotten.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the bottom line, the waste, it's just such a huge, huge piece of what needs to get fixed up there before anything else can really, you know, get rolling. So, but I do think the Gulf of America,
Gulf of America.
The Gulf of America will keep everybody on their toes. What else is he going to do?
The only people mad about that are Democrats and Mexico. And we don't care about either one right now.
But if he's willing to do that, and it's so outlandish, what else is he actually willing? I think that's going to put people back on their heels going, is he serious?
I don't know if you saw it, but I think Florida was the first state to take state-level action that included the name Gulf of America as it issued an emergency proclamation on the weather. Yeah. All right, great, good stuff. All right, so next question, speaking of Florida. So Governor Ron DeSantis, just this morning, maybe it was last night, but I saw it this morning, announced he's calling the Florida state legislature into a special session. And by the way, the state legislature is not real happy about it. And I understand because it calls them down to the state capitol, you know, 2 months ahead of schedule. But he's calling in a special session for the purpose of addressing illegal immigration at the state level. So here's my question. Is it time for Alabama to do the same thing? I'll go Lee again. Lee first. What you got? Do we have Lee? Do we have Lee? I don't think we have Lee. Well, Lee, did we lose her?
No,
we made it. We've lost your mic too, so I don't know what's going on. We got gremlins in the system. I'm going over here to do Butters.
I don't know if I'm still here.
All right.
Yeah, I absolutely think that was actually going to be one of my one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today. So you stole my question, trying to figure out. We need to do that. The bigger question I have is, what else do we need to be doing at the local level? Like, what else needs to be going on? Not just, you know, with the immigration,
Thing,
you know, but now, okay, now we've got federal stuff, quote unquote, fixed. Or at least in a better place, besides immigration, like, what are all the other things that need to be going on at the state level? We need to not just sit here in Alabama or Florida or Tennessee and go, all right, yeah, go get them in D.C. Like, what else do we need to be? And cry me a river about coming in early for, to do your job. Although apparently in Minnesota, that's a bit of an issue these days. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Democrats not showing up.
I try not to pay attention to Minnesota a whole lot, but
yeah, their Democrats have just decided not to come to a session.
Do we have Lee back on the line? Is Lee there?
No, I'm not so okay.
Well, okay, we got a mic problem on that one, so we'll keep dealing with it. And Lee, if you can hear me right now, you just call back in, and we'll try to get you plugged back in. But all right, so the bottom line is this: here's what he called him in for. You ready? You got criminal penalties at the state level to make it a state crime for entering the U.S. illegally. These are things he's requesting for the special session. He's requesting state immigration enforcement officers to be appointed and assigned and increase the ranks for that. He's got unauthorized alien transport programs. In other words, how to get them using state funds to move them around or get them out or do whatever. He's looking for gang enforcement actions. He's looking at education and enforcement and voting reforms. In other words, what do we do with schools and voting and all that? You got. All right, is Lee back on the line? Lee, what do you think? Hey, Lee, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can now. Yeah. Hey. So, I don't know if you heard the question.
I was talking away.
Sorry. Hey, how are you, Lee?
Filibuster as always.
So, Lee, here's the deal. Governor DeSantis just announced he's calling the Florida legislature into special session, asking them to do state-level actions on illegal immigration. Do you think it's time for Alabama to do that?
Past time. Way past time. Yes. But unfortunately, we have an elderly grandmother as a governor, or grandmother figure as a governor, and she doesn't seem to just do anything as far as, like, compared to DeSantis. Like, he just gets in and makes stuff happen and wrangles everybody, and she's always very quiet and not really a part of a conversation, you know?
Yeah, it's a leadership thing. I mean, I love the fact that DeSantis is willing to shake the bushes a little bit and make things happen. But so DeSantis has got this stuff going on. It's a special session. He's asking for actual laws to complement the Trump administration's actions on illegal immigration. So you're saying yes. And Butters, you didn't really answer the
100%.
Question.
100%. Well, our senators need to be doing that, and our reps need to be doing that.
Specific to immigration, yeah. We definitely need to be sitting there asking the question, you know, and I just near us, Albertville and Sylacauga, that's been in the news for months, those issues. And we need to be doing that. And I'm just saying, what else besides the immigration issue do we need to be looking at? You know, how does that change any of the discussion of what we are doing at the state level?
Well, the bottom line is I completely agree with DeSantis doing this. And I was there in the legislature when we passed a state illegal immigration bill during the Obama administration that we got all the protests, we got all the negative action, and we did not have the sentiments of the people nearly enough as they do now. I think now's the time. And I remember Senator Chris Elliott being on the show saying he agreed it was time to revisit the idea. And if they don't, they're wrong because they're missing a golden opportunity to be a part of it.
Yeah.
How
about what getting rid of making sure we have no DEI policies of any kind? I mean, like, let's follow some leads here while the snowball is rolling, so to speak.
All right, we're taking a break. That's round one. We'll get the bugs in the system worked out. We got cameras and microphones that are all bucking the systems right now. But we're still in. Butters and Lee, round two coming up. They ask me questions. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, a whole bunch of y'all were watching online our live stream. We just had a glitch that required us to reset the live stream. It is now back up. We still got one other glitch somewhere in the board that is not allowing JP's mic to work. We'll figure that out in a minute. And the bottom line is this: if you were watching the live stream and you just jumped off for a few minutes, just know this, you can go back. Live stream it. Okay, let me jump back into Butters and Lee, round two. This is where we flip the script and they ask me questions. I don't even know what's coming. I just wait to see what it is. But in keeping with the theme of the day, I'm going with ladies first again. I know, Butters gives me the look. I'm going again, ladies first. Lee, what do you got?
I'm wondering what you think about, it's a two-parter, the all the pardons. I question if it's legal to pardon someone for something they haven't been charged with or convicted of. And second, do you think they should still pursue questioning of the people that have been pardoned since they will no longer have Fifth Amendment protection and just demand to know the truth of what happened?
Well, interesting. I realize you may not have had a chance to hear it, but I just did my segment. My whole dipper was on that very topic right before you came on the air. And I absolutely, first of all, I believe that, yes, if there are ongoing investigations right now that they need to question these people who have been pardoned, bring them in. They can no longer claim the Fifth Amendment right to not testify due to self-incrimination. So I say get them in there. Find out what they know. But at the same time, what you about to say something?
Well, is it legal to pardon someone who hasn't been convicted or even charged the crime?
Arguably, yes. And I say that because it was an 1866 case called Ex Parte Garland that said that the pardon power of the president's office, with the exception of impeachments, is basically unparalleled. Nothing else, it cannot be, you know, withheld. And it can go to all things, even those that have not been adjudicated yet, from the time that they occurred. Meaning, you can't do things that haven't happened. You can't do things that are going to happen in the future. But you can pardon things that have already occurred, even if they have not been adjudicated. So that is arguably the position. Now, are there interpretations that could take it down a different road? Perhaps. But right now, that one case seems to be the one that most people rely on when they question the presidential pardon power. So there you have it. But can we talk to the people that got pardoned? Darn right we can. They can still be subpoenaed as witness.
It's such a dangerous slope.
As slippery as it can be.
I mean, how much does a pardon cost these days? How much do I need to give to your campaign?
How much do they know about me that I want to make sure they're pardoned for? Yeah, exactly. It's a mess. It's gross. It's and now, you know, Trump just pardoned all the Jan Sixers, but they served time. They were adjudicated, yeah. And he pardoned an actual crime, and it was specific to the thing. Biden just said, well, there's people out there that I don't know what he's going to do to them. Maybe he'll find something one day about them, so I'm going to give them a blanket pardon. And it's gross. It's his family members, and it's sycophants, and anyway.
Bad precedent.
Bad precedent.
I still think a big portion of him doing that is because it wasn't because of his mental capacity. It was a bunch of other people that it all just gets passed on to him, and it'll be his legacy, and Nancy Pelosi can make decisions, and the staffers that are like, they can just do whatever.
Sign here, Uncle Joe. What's this one? This is the one that brings ice cream. Oh, good. How do I sign? Do I hold the pen like this? Anyway.
He's the big guy, remember. He got 10% from a lot of people, so there's a lot of people he got to cover.
Well, so here's the thing. It doesn't mean they're immune to civil immunity, so if they reach out and find that there's an offshore account somewhere in the Bahamas, seize it. Absolutely seize it. All right, Butters, what question do you have from the wall?
So something I haven't, maybe it's just been all this presidential stuff going on. I haven't heard a whole lot about this whole bird flu. I don't know if you've been to the grocery store lately, but
ain't no eggs.
No eggs. And so I'm
is that why there's no eggs?
Partially, yeah. Yeah, so
what?
The bird flu, according to what I can find and see, there are a bunch of birds that have died, and then a bunch that they're preemptively killing. And so I partially wanted to get your thoughts on it, but I also know that a large portion of our listing area are in the poultry industry, and I'd love if anybody's got insights, because like I said, that's just been really quiet about something that's pretty big deal, it sounds like.
Well, so avian flu is always a big deal, and it comes around every year, it seems like, just like the flu hits the humans, we get avian flu, which sometimes can be transmitted to humans. But yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I actually was in the grocery store with Charlene not long ago, and we're like, there's no eggs, what the heck? I thought it was some kind of supply chain disruption by the Biden administration, but now I understand. But even still, the people don't realize to the extent, like just in Alabama alone, in this one state, poultry, which includes eggs, is a $1 billion industry. It's huge. And the fact that it's being hit that hard that we can't even get eggs in Publix right now, that's significant. So what are my thoughts on it? Well, don't ask me to take an mRNA vaccine for it, please. Thank you very much. But if it means that we don't get eggs for a while, I guess I understand, but it sucks.
Yeah, I'm
ask me if I have eggs.
Do you have eggs?
I do.
You have chickens that have eggs.
I know.
you run them right there in your backyard, don't you?
I do.
How many do you have?
Probably more than I should.
Well, all right. It's omelets at Lee's house. That's what I know. All right, you guys. Music's playing. We got to wrap it. Appreciate you. All right. I think we got most of our technical bugs worked out. All you guys, stay tuned. Hour number 3 coming up. That was Butters and Lee.